Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Afternoons where we just learned a lesson, and I mean we specifically, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and our listeners.
Oh, what'd you learn?
When Ted Johnson just throws something out there and then beats the point home, it means he heard something from somebody. He's pretending it's just his opinion.
Because I can't be that instinctive.
A little birdie, or maybe a big former linebacker head coach, who knows? I'm not speculating or suggesting. I'm just saying.
Lives in his mother's basement.
When Ted Johnson speculates so specifically and so consistently, it might be informed. It might not just be opinion, because he beat the drum that Joe Milton was a problem. Joe Milton was going to be traded. Joe Milton, the quarterback room, was an issue. And today, the Patriots dumped, and I'm going to use that word, dumped Joe Milton.
That's the correct word, Andy. That is the correct word. They didn't even trade him. They just jettisoned him.
We are getting conflicting reports, but I choose to trust Burt Breer. The only offer on the table was from the Dallas Cowboys. Despite Jordan Schultz reporting that the Patriots looked past better offers and gave him his preferred landing spot. But I'm going to trust our local guy, Burt Breer. And he says the only offer on the table, despite some other discussions, was the Dallas Cowboys. They shipped Joe Milton and a seventh to the Cowboys for what people will tell you is a fifth-round pick. It's a compensatory pick after the fifth round. Yeah. In Major League Baseball, they'd call it a sandwich pick. It's essentially a sixth-round pick. And depending on which trade value chart you use, some people believe the Patriots lost value on this trade. At the very least, they may have moved up like a half a round from what they drafted him for. Whoop-dee-doo. In the sixth round. Woo, yee-hee, let's have a parade. So clearly, there was no third-round pick on the table. We had heard that out of Cleveland. Tony Grossi said, yep. I'm here, and they're asking for a three. Well, they can ask for whatever they want. Nobody offered a three or anything close to it.
That's what I would have been asking for or expecting to hopefully get.
They got nothing. They got nothing for Joe Milton, which tells me they wanted to get rid of him. And we have an interesting report from Ben Volen. Take it for what it's worth. It's Ben Volen. I know some of you listening have a reaction to that. He's Ben Volen. He covers the
Globe,
Patriots,
right?
For the Globe.
The Boston Globe. That's a big
he roots for the Dolphins.
Right?
He hates the Patriots.
He's on football, so whatever. Indeed, a league source said last month at the NFL Combine that May's family was not thrilled when Milton was drafted. May also didn't look too pleased about giving up the week 18 game to Milton, leaving the locker room without speaking to reporters and then skipping the locker room cleanout day. How could they be thrilled with it? May had enough pressure on him as the number three pick and the future of the franchise. Every handoff, every throw, and every sideline interaction was dissected by fans, media, and coaches. And I would also, an addendum, this is me talking. This also came on the heels of the Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi experience in New England. Now, whether May knew about that or was aware of that, we were, right? We saw Zappi, and we saw Mac Jones' family had to leave the field because everybody likes Bailey Zappi better and that, all that crap.
Were we really doing, are we going to do this again?
Well, like, is that, Boland's is that doing it, baby.
Because, guys, the thing was, Mac Jones was a mental basket case following the switching of a defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator, stripping him of his guy, Josh, and everything that they did in the 2022 offseason. And then when he was rushed back in with the bad ankle, and I can't even re-legislate all of that stuff because it's just nauseating. And that was a complete blank show. But if this is what we're doing all over again, when the quarterback has played half a season, the hell's wrong with a little competition? If in fact this is true, what's wrong with somebody pushing you to be better? What's wrong with having to showcase that you're, Andy, you have told us 10,033 times. I've been keeping track, and the next will be 10,034. Drake May's a diamond. Drake May's a diamond. You can't break a diamond. That's the thing I always say about him. He's unbreakable. Drake May's a diamond. Okay.
I back that statement. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ted. So if Drake May is such a diamond, then why in the world do they need to get rid of the quarterback prospect behind him that has physical tools out the wazoo and could honestly be groomed under McDaniels for at least one more year to yield you a better flip than a fifth for him and a seventh? Like, that is a trash. I'm sorry. I love this team. I hate this trade. It's a trash return, and I can't imagine he's that much of a punk in the locker room that they needed to ditch him this quickly.
The way he was acting behind the scenes was, okay, maybe it was affecting Drake May in a way that wasn't conducive for him to be a good football player. Thus, it's not a good thing for the team. So it might not be, you can sit there and say, hey, you know, he's got, you know, what's wrong with a little competition? Well, what if it's affecting the overall mindset of your young quarterback? You know, he needs to get tougher.
Yes.
You know what? Okay, that's fine. You can say
that's
that.
Stiz checking in.
You can say that, but what if he's not? What if he can't handle it? Then
he's not your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, then that's a problem.
And do you want to go through the whole process of finding that out this year? You know, like,
yeah, I'd rather find out sooner than later. That's what I always said about Mac Jones, because I think you could have found out Mac Jones was a puddle of goo after you had given him a $250 million contract extension and were like thinking you were headed towards a Super Bowl. Yeah, at least you found out sooner rather than later and cut ties with that.
I would rather not even take the chance and just get rid of the distraction and so that your quarterback, who you put a third round, you picked him third overall, he's the face of your franchise. Why even mess with that? Just to what? Prove that, you know, he's, you know, you have a tough team and you want competition? Not at that position. Every other position, I'm okay with it, except that one position in football.
But isn't that the position where you need the guy's metal to be most proven and tested? Like, yeah, you need that guy
and
to
you,
be
and you can get it. You can test it in joint practices. You can test it in practice. You can test it in preseason games, and it'll get tested in regular season games. It doesn't need to be practiced in the quarterback room behind the scenes.
Okay, so you're Gatto quarterbacks, and I say that seriously because you told us the guy changed everything when he started practicing. Not even playing, practicing. Tom Brady, correct? Part of the Tom Brady story was he didn't leave Michigan. He said, you can put me fifth on the depth chart. I'm going to stick it out, and I'm going to beat these guys, and I'm going to get better, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to be tested and tried and all these things. And now we're talking about Drake May. And I also don't know. So you're bringing up that Milton may have been doing things behind the scenes, whatever those are. Do you mean last year, like during the regular season? When?
That could be it. I'm thinking even this year.
Yeah, but how much time have they spent together? They haven't even really been there yet.
Thinking or knowing, Ted?
I'm wondering. I'm wondering.
From thinking to knowing to wondering.
So are you saying that you want to mess with the third? You don't care that it might mess with the third overall pick, your franchise quarterback, that it's worth finding out if he's tough enough. And you know what? let's just have an open quarterback competition. We should have had an open quarterback competition with Joe Milton and Drake May this training camp. Why didn't they just have an open competition and say who's better at the end and then go with that guy? Is that what you're saying they should have done?
I mean, I don't think there's an open competition. I think Drake May is by far the better player. He proved that in training camp last year.
Then why even deal?
Because you have a commodity who's a good athlete and a backup quarterback, and I think there's value in that. Ron Wolf used to mastermind it, and Ron Wolf's kid, Elliott, is running the team.
In getting rid of him, too, because if it brings up, if it makes Drake May a better quarterback, then there's value in getting rid of him as well.
So he's so soft that he's better because you removed the competition from the equation. No?
It's, you know what, Fitz, or Andy, I don't know what to say. I've been telling you that his mindset is very important, how he approaches the game.
Sure.
If the quarterback that's backing him up thinks he should be playing in front of him and is acting that way, I think it could do damage to the kid's psyche, which then in turn does damage to the football team.
I have concerns.
Uh-huh.
I've called this guy a diamond.
Then have concerns.
But my diamond wouldn't have made this trade if I don't believe he's a diamond is why I would make this trade. And that concerns me if there's even a hint. Mike Reese wrote something, this paves the way for Drake May. And I'm like,
paves the way for him what? To not ever be criticized or to feel anyone nipping at his heels or have someone saying, I can throw that ball further or better than you. It's a friendly competition. If Joe Milton wanted to start, hold on, Ted. If Joe Milton wanted to start, then A, you know, don't get benched in college, and you got taken in the sixth round for a reason, bud. You're super athletic. He does Teddy backflips, which is Ted's favorite thing in the world, and I know he's got
strong
the bazooka arm.
He does have
and
a strong
he can
arm.
Chuck, and he can chuck it like Uncle Rico. I got it. But, like, you are where you are for a reason, and Drake May is where he is for a reason. So Joe Milton has to earn it, and Drake May shouldn't be concerned about it. If he's worried about, what's Joe Milton saying, or what's going on with Joe Milton, then I hate to say it, but Foxborough, we have a problem.
Yes, it is.
Real quick, wasn't Teddy the one saying yesterday that we shouldn't be making decisions based on what Drake May thinks when we were talking about the mock draft?
Son of a bitch, this guy's listening.
And then my other quick point is that
receipts.
We can all agree that Ben Volen may not, you know, he's had some misses, let's say. But this is not the first time that we've heard this. And we all wondered, where was Drake May at the end of the season? Where was Drake May here?
It's a fair point.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. So I don't think this is a complete nothing.
I'll be honest with all you guys. I am a little surprised by this report. So I'm a little bit, I did not think that this would be part of his mental makeup. Yeah. I'll be honest. It may not be. I thought you and I differ on this, Andy, but I just kind of thought the guy was a gamer. I thought he was a throwback. I thought he was a tough kid. And if this stuff is true that Ben Volen's reporting and that you guys maybe are suggesting, then I'll be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed.
And we're going to go to the phone calls real quick, 617-779-7937. I do also want to throw out there could be a generational aspect to
yes.
this that I just don't. Now, I said to
Hit
Ted during
that.
The break.
What's that mean? What's
so,
that mean?
Like, I think these athletes are different than Ted's era, than even Brady's era, an era 10 years ago where they come up through the ranks in a different way. The transfer portal, if the going gets – hell, I've dealt with it in my own personal. I've seen quarterbacks at the high school level transfer to a high school to try to compete for a starting QB job. Oh, I'm the backup. I'm transferring to a different high school. I never even played for that high school, never even went to a class. It's a different world. The one thing I would say, so we're having this discussion about Drake May. Has anyone on this panel, and I'll include Stiz because he's passionate, Dan Ball, has anyone heard conversations like this for Jaden Daniels? I have not heard a bad word about Jaden Daniels, his makeup, his metal, his now. Maybe that's because everything was nice and packaged. He shows up, they win, they go to the playoffs, it's his team. I don't know.
We're also not, like, local to him. And what's
true,
going on locally
but I feel like
there.
We would, with social media, we'd get wind of it somehow. And he grew up in the same basic era. He's a little bit older, I believe, but he grew up in the same era. So comparing apples to apples, the number two and the number three pick franchise quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
So that's where it could be generational, but I also don't love it.
Can I give one example to maybe make the case, my case to some degree? The 2012 NFL draft, I think that was Andrew Luck, RG3.
Yep.
RG3 goes to the Commanders. Do you remember who the
fourth round
pick
Kirk
was?
Cousins.
And how'd that
play out?
How'd that play out?
not great, but more because of injuries and who, and I would argue this, who RG3 was. You remember the reports out of Washington? He was not allowed to be criticized in front of the entirety of the team.
Yeah.
So you might be making our point.
So, but the point is, so do we want to do we want to get rid of Drake May because he's just not tough and he's soft?
No, but
because he can't handle some competition.
It makes me
is
less,
that a reason to get rid of him?
Makes me less confident about the future.
But that might be fair. Okay, but
it's like the Jason Tatum argument we've been having for 10 years. They won a title, and everybody's like, I don't know if he's a dog. I don't know if he's an alpha. I don't know where this team's going with him as your best player.
I think it's fair to question it. I just don't think it's fair to think that, you know, he should be competing with a six-round draft pick that had a great game in his last game against backups.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. They are loaded, so people are passionate about this Joe Milton trade. Let's go to Dave in Amherst. What are your thoughts on this Joe Milton trade?
Hey, guys, I think it might be dumb. They could have probably, you know, waited and gotten a better pick. But my real beef is something that's 1,000 times more stupid, is going into another year with no work on the offense. I mean, you got Stephon Diggs, who's injured with an ACL. What is their plan? I just don't understand. They should have spent that money on defense, on offense.
All right, thanks for the call, Dave. I think they plan on Stephon Diggs contributing to this team. I think they plan on addressing some of that in the draft, and we'll see where that goes. But they've addressed some of their issues on offense. Let's go to Joe in Melrose. What are your thoughts on this Joe Milton trade?
Hey, guys. Well, I thought the tariffs were the stupidest thing to happen today. yeah, it was it was unreal. I mean, this is like a horrible trade. I don't know if Joe Milton just shot his way out of town, because that's what it sounds like. But, I mean, the thing was with Drake May, because he runs so much, he gets hit in the head. You're going to need the backup quarterback to play one or two games a year. And if you're an 8-9, 9-8 team, as they're projected to be, that's the difference between making or missing the playoffs that one game. So, I mean, I just don't know. It seems like an absolute panic move by the Patriots.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
They have Josh Dobbs. That Josh Dobbs is paid $4 million for the next 2 years, or $8 million for the next 2 years, to be a backup in case Drake May gets a concussion.
They do.
You know what? He looks good for the first 3 to 5 games, and then Josh Dobbs ultimately goes from the pastronaut to Josh Dobbs for a reason, Ted, whereas we don't know what Joe Milton can ultimately become, because we only saw him against a UFL team in week 18.
And the idea that Joe brought up, that Joe Milton shot his way out of town, I like that a heck of a lot more than Drake May pushed him out of town. Two very different storylines. And you've kind of been more, this Ben Volen report kind of brought this argument to the surface. You've been more on the Joe Milton might be kind of pushing his way out of town, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
So that I'm actually okay with. Although, didn't he want to go to a place where he could start? And didn't he go to a place that has the highest paid starting quarterback in football? Doesn't Dak Prescott make $60 million a year? Although, I do know, and I said this on Twitter, a sixth-round Patriots backup has unseated a $100 million quarterback before. Tom Brady did it to Drew Bledsoe. Maybe now Joe Milton does it to Dak Prescott. Yeah. There were rumors in Cleveland that they wanted to trade for Dak Prescott.
There you go.
And Joe Milton might become the starter of the Cowboys.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm saying this after one game against the Bills in the season finale, that the star, the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, would turn his team over to Joe Milton. But he's done crazy things before. Hell, he traded for Trey Lance, a first-round bust. He's going the opposite way now. He's giving up less for maybe a more proven talent or NFL talent. This is craziness with this Joe Milton trade, and everybody wants to talk about it, so let's let them talk. Richie in New Hampshire, what are your thoughts on this Joe Milton Drake May situation?
I agree with the we could have got more for him. Drake May should have been able to handle some pressure, and it shouldn't have been a big deal. And how did Drew Bledsoe feel with Tom Brady backing him up? We didn't even know who Tom Brady was till Bledsoe got hurt. And I was at the games. I was like, who the hell's Tom Brady? But you know what? I think that we could have got more for him. And we, like they're saying, I was watching Felger and Maz just a little.
I'm not going to let you talk about that.
I
think Joe.
Never heard Jack Wagon. I don't even know what you're referencing. We're talking about Joe Milton and Drake May here.
Joe is right. But the thing about, if you want to compare the Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, I mean, Drew was in the league 8 years.
Yes.
We clearly knew what he was.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't really know what Drake is capable of doing. So.
Or Joe Milton.
Or Joe
Both Milton. Of them are complete unknowns here.
And you have off-season workouts starting this Monday.
Yep.
My guess is they didn't even want to, you know what, bring in Joe in for, you know, to me, that you wait till after the draft, and then you go, there's teams that maybe thought they were going to quarterback that didn't, that now you have leverage and you get a higher draft pick. But they didn't even want him in off-season workouts working out with Drake.
And that's a fact. That is an absolute fact, because the facts are you traded him. We don't know why you traded him necessarily. And the one thing I hate, because I am, it's going to sound weird here, but I'm a big fan of Drake May. I think Drake May can be a top five quarterback. And I hate that this is suddenly going to become part of the narrative. Oh, he was so threatened that he made them trade Joe Milton. When we don't know that to be true. It's not even being reported yet. All Ben Volen reported in the portions of the story that I read are the May family didn't like the Joe Milton pick. It doesn't even say Drake May. Could be his dad, could be his brothers that call him a bitch on national TV, right? Like, you could have a brother. Couldn't you have a brother, Ted? You were drafted, and then the Patriots took a middle linebacker in the fourth round, too, and your brother's like, that's kind of a dink move. Why don't you let Ted prove he can either play or not play before you bring somebody else in? That doesn't mean you think that, does it?
Well, that's fair, no, but people are going to make the assumption that those are linked. Their feelings are linked, right?
I hate assumptions.
Okay.
This is going to besmirch the reputation of Drake May, Fitzy, before he even has a chance to really, truly establish whatever the hell his reputation is in here in New England.
The allegations are already flying fast and furious. Social media practically self-immolated today with people saying, "Ah, the Pats are lucky they got anything for him. This guy sucks." Versus, "Oh, good job trading the better of the two quarterbacks. And you should have gotten at least a third, if not a first, because what happens when this guy supplants Dak Prescott and becomes the next big thing in Dallas?" No joke.
I'm amazed. Go ahead.
617-779-7937. We are going to continue to talk about Joe Milton, the trade. I'll give you the poll results, and you probably know it. A lot of people don't like this trade from the Patriots' perspective.
A lot of people.
But they liked it enough in the building to pull it off today. They gave away or dumped Joe Milton. And now we have Drake May and a reputation that is being besmirched by some in the city.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student-athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ready for a little Patriots roster talk, Keith?
Oh, I think I'm ready for a speed running back. Now that I hear that, sign me up for a speed running back.
Is Ashton Gentry a speed running back?
Is that more like
that's a bulk running back?
Is that more PC than a scat back? Remember they used to say you want yourself to get a little scat back?
Yeah.
A little guy you can throw to a little bit.
Yeah.
But now I guess they all have to kind of do that. you don't have really too many three down backs in the league.
No.
Count them on one hand.
And you want a guy who can catch it.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's not really.
I'll take a speed back.
Speed back, you're in?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
All right, good.
He convinced me.
I thought that was an interesting answer yesterday from Robert Kraft discussing all the Patriots' needs and what they still need done. He's like, well, obviously we still need a tackle and a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, I'd also like a speed back.
Speed back.
So we can get into that all day long here on Jones and Keefe, following up on some of what Robert Kraft had to say yesterday at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. 617-779-7937. Your phone number to jump in today. It's also the text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. We will begin our draft preview series today.
Woo!
At 10:45, we're going to start with the wide receiver position today.
Premium position.
Top players at the position.
Uh-huh.
Top targets for the Patriots. Guys we like, guys we don't. We'll do that at 10:45. We'll be doing that each and every day leading right up to the NFL draft. It starts today. So mark that down. It's also a Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. And Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon.
Yes.
So stay tuned for all of it. Let's just start with a generic question there.
All right.
About Robert Kraft. Was that a suggestion or a demand when he's going through all the needs and what the Patriots need to bring in? Like, you're the one in charge of the purse strings. You're the one in charge of what they're going to spend in free agency and, in theory, who they're going to spend it on. When he says, obviously, we need a tackle and a receiver and let's throw in a speed back, too. I'm just talking as a fan over here.
Sure.
You know,
I sat on those aluminum
benches.
Just like us.
So was that a suggestion or a demand?
So I think it was probably a strong suggestion, but also you can't name three positions and then expect him to draft all three of those positions with the number four pick. So, you know, I think if they take a left tackle with their first pick, whether it's at four, they trade down, or even if they take a receiver, I think he'd be pretty happy. But hearing that, what would surprise me is if it's anything other than those three, right? Like if it is Ty Warren, it'd be a bit of a surprise.
What if it's Mason Graham?
If it's Mason Graham, it'd be a bit of a surprise.
Isn't he visiting today or his visit is soon? Yeah. I saw Jerry Fowler had a report on that. So
it would be a surprise to me just based on Kraft's comments.
I wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't be, well, maybe based on Kraft's comments, but I wouldn't like it, but that pick wouldn't stun me.
But they've invested some pretty big money into the defensive line
that's true.
It would surprise me. Like free agency was 80% defense. And especially when you factor in the money, maybe even a little bit higher, especially looking at Steph Diggs' money might not be as significant as it was initially reported. So him tossing those three things out there are kind of obvious, right? Like, you know, asked about it, and those are still positions that even with the addition of Steph Diggs, they need another receiver. They clearly need a left tackle. And I think running back has been one where we've kind of talked about it off and on. You've been on Ash and Genty for a while. And so those are three things that they could definitely look to add. If they don't go offense in the first round, it's pretty surprising.
Yeah.
It could happen. And, you know, Mike Vrabel went very heavy defense to start. And maybe they truly feel like best player available is there. It also depends on who goes 1, 2, and 3. But I would still be shocked.
I also wonder, based on Kraft's answer there, if something you're starting to see more in mock drafts, we highlighted, and it was an atypical mock draft earlier this week, but Bill Barnwell has all trades.
All trades.
He had the Patriots moving back up to 31 with KC. Field Yates had a mock draft today where he had the Patriots moving up to 30 with, I'm trying to remember who that was. Was it Buffalo? He had him moving back up to 30. So I think both of them had, well, actually in Barnwell's case, he had him trading for Ayuk. Today, Field Yates had him taking Hunter at 4 and then moving up for Josh Connerly, the tackle at Oregon. But like, forget the names for a moment.
Yeah.
It would be checking the two primary needs that Kraft mentioned before you get to the speed back. You get your wide receiver, you get your tackle, you're done in the first round.
Yeah.
You got to trade 38 and a future third, but you have an extra third from the Judon trade. I wonder if listening to Robert there, that's more in play than I've given it credit for, where, all right, we have two obvious needs. Let's just knock them both out in round one, on night one.
So a couple times under Belichick, they had two first-round picks. And, you know, the year that they got Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, they actually moved up both times to get those guys. And that was a home run of a draft. Then, you know, a few years later, you get Isaiah Wynn and Sonny Michel, less of a home run. You know, you won with Sonny Michel's, maybe a single at least.
But a Super Bowl champion there.
But too. maybe that is a realistic. They've been very aggressive this offseason, which is unlike previous off seasons. So maybe in line with that, this would be the kind of year to go two first round picks. you know, that would also speak to Robert Kraft's comments yesterday about these are the worst 2 years as an owner that I've had here, back-to-back four-win seasons. I don't want to pick fifth again. So one of the best ways to not pick fifth again is to overhaul your roster as much as you can, you know, infuse as much talent as you can. And I think they've done a pretty good job in free agency. And then if you combine that with a really good draft, if you get two or three starters out of the draft, and obviously you have a better chance of getting starters if you're drafting them in the first round, just based on percentages. So if you pick at four and say 30, and then again in the third round, like, all right, now you're looking like a team that does go from four wins to nine.
And, you know, we highlighted this yesterday, or not even yesterday, we've highlighted it throughout the process rather, but the idea that they're not going to draft for need, they're going to let the draft come to them. When the owner comes out and he's like, we have two obvious needs.
Yeah.
Here's what we need. Yep. And everybody knows is what you need. It does make it a little more difficult to let the draft come to you. If you really like Mason Graham at pick four, or you really like Tyler Warren at pick four, or Jenty, and the owner did mention a running back, so maybe that's a little different. But if you really like those guys and that's how your board is stacked, are you going to take them, or are you getting pressure from above, from ownership, to say, well, we have these obvious needs. We spent money to fill in the other gaps. I want to be in the playoffs, as he told us yesterday.
Yeah.
So go get this done. That's another complication, and I think it's a big one. It's your boss. That's another potential complication when it comes to taking best player available, letting the draft come to you.
Well, because it's also, if you believe some of the conspiracy theories out there, is that maybe Mac Jones was more of a Robert Kraft pick, right? Or at least a, hey, you got to take a quarterback type of thing.
I think Drake May was a Robert Kraft pick.
But I was going to say that. So I was going to say, so we have two examples of it.
Yeah.
And one, we at least right now, like the results a lot more than the other. But sometimes that can still be the right thing. So even though you want your football people running that, you want Mike Vrabel making this call. And I still think it will be overall a Mike Vrabel decision. But if Robert Kraft's like, hey, we really need a left tackle, like, what's the plan at left tackle? We can't go through another season of this. And then, you know, either they take him at four, or maybe, you know, Vrabel convinces them, like, hey, we really like, I don't know, if Travis Hunter falls, or if Ashton Jeanty, or maybe they feel like there's a trade down that is just the one that they can't pass up. Like, hey, we get this, and we get extra picks. We know we need a left tackle. We're going to get the left tackle. But then you could also spin it. It's not as much of a no-brainer as Drake May. Like, Will Campbell's not the consensus fourth pick. He's not even a consensus left tackle. So that one is a little bit, it's apples to oranges when you're comparing to Drake May, which was the obvious pick a year ago.
617-779-7937. Kraft says they need a tackle and a wide receiver, which we can all see. He also says they need a speed back. So
I do like that Steph Diggs isn't just the, oh, we got a receiver, we're good.
Yeah, it should
be. I like
be.
That, yeah.
Diggs and Mac Hollins, not enough.
No.
You do need more there. So was that a suggestion from Kraft? Was that a clue as to which way they're going to be leaning at pick four and early on in the draft in general? Again, you can jump in at 617-779-7937. I had two takeaways from the quick running back aside.
Yeah.
Because that didn't seem to fit. We all know they need a tackle.
It's obvious.
We all know they need a receiver.
Yeah, because right now you think they have two NFL running backs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like a running back, but I wouldn't have it high on the needs list. Kraft had it third. He's like, this is the other knee, as a fan, that I would like a speed back, quote unquote.
Do you think that is reactionary to the team that won the Super Bowl having the best running back in football?
Probably.
Maybe.
I hadn't really thought about it
and
that way. But
the best
yeah.
offense in football in the regular season was the Lions, and they had two really good running backs, including one that you would definitely call like a speed back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's that.
I mean, look, we as fans overreact to what we see in the Super Bowl. We did it the day after the Super Bowl. Like, what can we glean from the Super Bowl? What can you take away? Look at these teams and how they're built, and how can you apply it to the Patriots? I'm sure Kraft does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a good theory on it. I had two takeaways on this. One, I wonder if Jeanty's in play at four, which I would be a Ooh. Fan of, assuming that Carter and Hunter are gone. I think that's kind of the obvious thing to tie in. The second thing, I wonder if they're not, and you kind of just hinted at this, I wonder if they're not as sold on Ramondre Stevenson you would think. Like, they look
the dropsies might lead to that.
They look at that as, all right, we have an NFL running back, but we don't love him, mm-hmm. and we need to upgrade that spot. And I wonder if there was a clue there that Stevenson either isn't long for this roster, and I know they just paid him, or they don't think he's the full-time guy, or there's some kind of hint there.
Well, also, Mike Vrabel didn't pick Ramondre Stevenson.
Correct.
Mike Vrabel had success with Derrick Henry. And I know you're not just getting Derrick Henry, but he might look at it and say, I don't think this is the guy. Like, if we're going to be a team And he even said this early, which, you know, you and I didn't love, but one of the first sit downs with Mike Vrabel, he talked about, kind of I'm paraphrasing, but we're not going to throw the ball 40 times.
Right.
Right. Like, we're not going to do that.
We want to pass efficiently,
but we
got to be able to run the football too.
Run, stop the run, all that stuff. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I guess, you know, it does make sense. But if that's the case, and you want to put Drake May in the best position possible, and even if he's not chucking the ball all over the yard, you want to make sure you're getting 4 or 5 yards of carry with your top back and also hold on to the ball. So if Mike Vrabel's seen enough of Stevenson, not like enough to cut him, but also like we need to beef up this position because it's going to be even more important for us than it has been for you guys in the last few years.
Yeah. I don't see them handling Stevenson the same way they did a year ago, where, and I can't imagine any other coach handling it this way, where they give him too long of a leash for fumbling early on in the season. Then they send a message, but it's a wishy-washy, half-hearted message that they send. What did Ramondre Stevenson sit for? A series, like midway through the year, early in the year?
Something like that.
Something like that.
And then, remember, he was like, he's not going to start.
Then the last week of the year, second to last week of the year, what was it? Late in the season. They're like, no, he's not going to start. He tells the pregame show he's not going to start, and then he's out there starting the game. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be lip service with players in general. Like, if Vrabel says something, they're going to follow through on it, number one.
Yep.
I think most coaches probably do that. That's a low bar to clear.
True.
But number two, I don't know that Vrabel has the patience for it just in a vacuum. I don't know that he has the patience for the turnovers. I know he doesn't believe he's part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Yeah.
But I think some of those hallmarks that Bill was, I think, maybe too far in the direction of, if you fumble it, we're going to sit you down. If you're a rookie and you fumble one time, you're done. You're in the doghouse for a long period of time. But I could see Vrabel coaching it similar to that.
Could you see him as a trade candidate? I know there's other guys on the team that have been sort of thrown out there as trade possibilities.
I'm sure they'd love to trade him. Get that money off the books. I'm sure they'd love to do that.
And I even
because
think,
I think there's buyer's remorse there already.
Probably. And I wonder, you're not going to get a lot for him, running backs. I don't think you can really trade a lot or expect to get a lot back in return. But if you want to upgrade the position anyway, and if you're going to draft somebody, there might be teams that are targeting running backs in round 2 or 3 that don't get them. And so maybe it's something that you wait till draft day to end up flipping a deal with. But yeah, if you have the owner talking about running back, you just gave this guy an extension a year ago. You wouldn't think... You know, if Ramondre Stevenson didn't fumble and had like a regular year for Ramondre Stevenson, and then Antonio Gibson had the same year that he had a year ago, and these guys were coming back, I don't think anybody's really talking about running back because you have so many other needs.
Stevenson and Gibson are NFL backs. Yeah. And then the owner comes out and says, we need a speed back, which is also weird in and of itself because, all right, we need a running back. I'd be like, it's Genty. Like, Genty. I'd be pounding the table. Yeah. I already like Ashton Genty. I'd be pounding the table being like, I think this was a clue. I think they're telling you this is what they're going to do. But then he says a speed back, and it throws me all out of whack. That's not what Genty is.
Speed back. Who is he referring to as a speed back?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, I don't quite know where he's going with that. If he was looking at the Eagles last year, your theory, which I think is a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think Barkley's a speed back either.
No, he's not.
I know he was breaking away with tons of runs.
Yeah.
But Barkley's a monster.
I know.
And Genty looks like he has the potential to be a monster. I would refer to somebody like Jahmyr Gibbs is a speed back. And yeah, that extra qualifier there, not just we need a running back, but we need a speed back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should read into that at 4 or not, because I don't think that applies to Genty.
Is it Henderson from Ohio State?
Maybe he's definitely a speed back.
He's fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you're not taking him at 4. And if you did want Genty, how far down do you think you could go and get him? Because that was one thing we've asked, like, as a Patriots fan.
I would say he's consistently mocked at 6 to the Raiders.
Yikes.
Like,
you can't go down to 9, 10, or wherever. Saints are at 9, I think. You can't go down that far,
Saints
probably.
Saints are at 9.
Yeah,
I don't know that you can move far past that. And so it doesn't mean he wouldn't drop to you there, but where do you consistently see him mocked? He doesn't get past the Raiders often at 6. And there are times where you see him mocked to the Patriots at 4. So the Patriots have obvious needs. And one other mystery need that Kraft threw out there today. Was that a demand? Is that a suggestion? What do you think about the clues that Robert Kraft was dropping yesterday at his press conference in Palm Beach?
New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel speaking this morning at the owners' meetings on the plan for left tackle.
Right.
So I guess Shine may have to adjust the mock 3.0, which he will debut when he returns with us.
Yeah.
But maybe they're
If Vidarian Lowe's not the guy, then I guess you're going to go out and see what you can get in the draft.
I think you could probably maybe pick up the kid, Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College. He might be available in the second round. He could be tackle of the future. I don't think they're going to waste their fourth overall pick on a tackle. I can't wait to see Shime's mock draft. Because I was talking to Fitzy on Sunday when I saw him at the Northeast Card Show I was doing. I was talking to him, and he had asked me what I'd like. And I remember I heard Jermaine in East Boston call the show and say, the afternoon show, and say, the perfect thing, if you can't get Abdul Carter, trade down from 4 to, like, 7, and then draft Tyler Warren, pick up an extra second-round pick, because I believe Tuesday, tomorrow, is the official trade deadline. I'm making air quotes for Brandon Ayuk. So they're either going to pay him that $22 million or they're going to have to trade him.
Yeah, I think at like 4 p.m. tomorrow, it kicks in. So they have to get rid of him before then if they don't want to have him on the
And I think the latest is that they're going to pay him.
Oh, is that what the latest is? And I would trade down, pick up an extra pick, see if I could trade for him. But if I can't get him, I'd still go the direction you said. Bring another free agent in. I take Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, at 7. So I would have Tyler Warren, Steph Diggs, another free agent, wide receiver, and then the young group of wide receivers to go along with Drake May. And then I'd probably take that tackle with that second round pick. If it's not the kid Trapillo from Boston College, you know, find some other tackle. But that's what I would do.
You should do a mock and go up against
Shimes. No, I do not want to. I stay in my lane, Courtney.
So if Travis Hunter ends up being available at number 4,
I trade down.
You would trade down.
Yep. I would trade down and I would, like I said, pick up that extra second round pick, and I would take Tyler Warren and get the other free agent, you know, whether it's Keenan Allen, whether it's, you know, Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, and then that's what I go with.
Were you surprised at all that they released Bentley?
It was a little shocking, but then again, I wasn't too surprised because didn't they sign the linebacker from, where was he, with San Francisco, the guy that they signed, that middle linebacker that Vrabel was on. I forget his name, the white kid.
And Spillane?
Spillane, yeah, that's it, Spillane. So I felt like, all right.
Spillane.
I didn't know what his
Spillane.
Name
was. Spillane. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, this is Jason from Hingham. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time, long time, Greg. And I wanted to compare Rafi Devers of today to the 2009 version of David Ortiz coming off World Series. David Ortiz batted .238. I mean, 28 home runs is nothing to, you know, I mean, obviously. But for David Ortiz, it's a little low of a year batting average-wise. I think he's going to be able to work it out. They have people in the clubhouse, people on the team that are going to be able to help Rafi get right. It's just a matter of getting his swings on time. And I think he's going to be able to do all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think physically you can fix it. My guy Lou did a great deep dive on this on social when it comes to his stance and how open it is and all of that. So I think you can fix it if he wants you to fix it. But that's if you're thinking that it's all physical, Jason. I don't think it's all physical. I think the majority of it is that, you know, is he's pissed off. Is not accepting that role and missed a good portion of spring training by throwing a temper tantrum. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, he obviously the mental aspect of it, you got to correct that. The manager's got to get in there. Cora's got in there and work on that with him if that's actually the case. But, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you're
right. It is more Greg, and I heard Lou talking about that, about how he's got his foot more back than anything. But it really, I guess it depends. Are you in the camp of it being physical? I'm more in the camp where I agree with Courtney. I think it's clearly mental, and it's in his head. And now
that's affecting his physical. Like,
Yeah. The mental,
everything Lou said was right, but I think that the mental aspect of it is throwing him completely off.
Yeah, I think it's the mental part that's playing into why he's not hitting. Like, I don't think he just changed his stance and all of a sudden that's the reason. I think it's clearly the mental part, but how long does it take for him, them to fix that?
This is Sue from Lynn. What's up, Sue?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. Listen to you every day. I have a comment about Devers. Yes. I think he's being completely irrational. Okay, these entitled players really are just unbelievable. So if a boss comes to you and says, "I want you to do this task," you do it. So if he is asked to do something else, okay, he needs to do it. If he doesn't do it and starts acting babyish and so forth, that's being extremely selfish and only thinking of himself.
Well, now Wiggy says you can't apply the same standards to regular people that you apply to athletes. That's what he said.
No, I said you can't apply. You can't apply the same standards of the worker bee versus. I said if you can compare the CEO. And
you
Devers.
Can't compare to Jackson. Correct. You can compare to Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but Wiggy, when you were playing professional sports, if Bill Belichick came to you and said, "Wiggy, we need you to, you know, be in this position," wouldn't you do that? If your boss tells you they need you for this, I'll do anything to win.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he do the same thing?
Because everybody's not built mentally the same way. That's the thing. That's the unfortunate part. And there were plenty of guys that I played with when Bill said, "We want you to do it like this." They didn't do it like that. And guess what? Bill shipped them up out of there.
This is Jay from North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
I just want to tell you that what the Patriots did to Mac Jones is reprehensible. They gave him no time. And if it happens to Mac to Drake May, I know the Patriots are going to be concerned that I'm not watching them anymore. But it's a bloodbath. If he doesn't have, but if Drake May has about 3 to 4 seconds to make a play, then that's acceptable. And I think of the Patriots when they went on 18-1 against the Giants, when they had John Deere, Paul, and Justin Tuck, and Mike Strahan. Tom Brady was an ordinary quarterback. He had less than 2 seconds to make a play. This has got to change. They've got to change the offensive line.
They do. I think Mike Vrabel knows that. It's just what is he able to, you know, who's he able to get and how quickly is he able to fix it?
He's got, I would say he's got 3 of the offensive linemen kind of locked in.
Well, don't forget you lost Andrews.
Right, but you added a new center with the kid from Minnesota. So, you know, that's a wash. You got somebody who's a little bit younger and is not coming off an injury. You got Onwenu, where I think they're pretty satisfied with him, depending on whether he's a guard or a tackle. They're going to have to make that decision. And then you got the kid Moses that you brought in to probably solidify maybe the right tackle. I don't know if they feel like they can move him to left tackle. He's a veteran. He's a little bit older, but he's somebody, though. So you have 3 of those positions, and then you got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with the left tackle? That's why I think if you decide to go with the second round pick, which is the top of the second round, to go and get a tackle, you could easily maybe fix your tackle of the future problems with that guy, and you still have the ability to maybe sign another guy in free agency.
All right. Well, 24 days away from the draft.
Can't wait.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's 2 for Tuesday. Give away 2 more tickets to the Red Sox and Cardinals, April 6th at Fenway Park. That comes your way at 12:30. Stay tuned for it. That's also a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us at high noon every Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. That was Elliot Wolf discussing how much power and influence he has on the number 4 pick. Pretty much told you. It's up to Vrabel and the coaching staff on where he'd play and if we'd even pick him. So pretty telling answer there from Elliot Wolf, along with our Robert Kraft discussion all day long, speaking earlier today in Florida. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Great, great. I think it's been productive. I like this because it's basically a State of the Patriots week, and you get a real appraisal as to what they think they've accomplished, what they're trying to accomplish, and what their expectations are. So I like this week.
So it's always a noteworthy week. You highlighted this in a column earlier in the week. You expected Robert Kraft to speak. He did earlier today. He highlighted the team's spending, pushing back on any narratives about limiting spending. He touched on the team plans, the succession plan, the last couple of years, his goals for this season. I might be leaving other stuff out. What jumped out to you? What was your main takeaway from Robert this morning?
What jumped out to me was how, if you contrast it to last year, I'll talk about this on quick glance. You can hear the sound. You guys probably have it. I hope we don't struggle. I think we might struggle. And then this year, it's playoffs. I am so optimistic. We have a foundation. The last 2 years, they've gone 8-26. They have been in a rebuild, talking about creating a foundation. Now Robert believes the foundation is laid. I don't know what happened necessarily between January and March in signing Morgan Moses and Milton Williams and Carlton Davis and Robert Spillane and signing Stephon Diggs. That's not a foundation. Those are boards. The only foundational pieces the Patriots have right now, I believe, are Gonzalez, Milton Williams, certainly, and Christian Gonzalez and Drake May. That's it. Those are the only foundational pieces. So I'm sure the exuberance is related to Vrabel and his authority and assuredness, but they still have a wicked long way to go, which is what Vrabel, I think, is trying to underline. So I think that's an interesting push-pull going on between Vrabel saying, sorry to go on and on, Keith, between Vrabel saying, hey, we won March, yay, break out the sheet cake, and Robert saying, this is the year.
Yeah.
So it's really a fascinating dynamic.
You know, we talked a lot about the spending last week, and today when he was talking, he mentioned how, you know, over the last 31 years, he's never stood in the way of when, you know, his guys want to spend money. You think Parcells and Belichick and even Gerard Mayo would share that same sentiment?
I certainly know that Belichick would, 1,000,000%. I mean, Belichick, actually, for I told you guys this. Remember, you guys know your Patriots history. Why doesn't it ever sink in? Think back to the late 90s. Who didn't get a contract? Everybody got a contract. Bledsoe got a $103 million contract. You had McGinnis getting ridiculously outsized contracts. Ted Johnson paid at the top of the market. Todd Rucci, Max Lane, everybody got money. To the point where when Belichick came in, he goes, what the hell have you done here? You can't buy everybody. And he got them back in terms of economically sound. Bill really threw nickels around like manhole covers. Now, that's not to say the Krafts weren't delighted by that, and that's probably a major portion of the reason they hired him. But I don't think that Bill could, with a straight face, ever say that they hosed him on money. They wanted to pay Brady $25, $30 million a year. It's Bill's like, no, we're not doing that. He's 42. So I don't think that Bill could ever say that.
What about last year when Mayo said they were going to burn cash and was very adamant, like, oh, we have all this salary cap money and we're going to burn cash. And then they kind of followed that up by only really re-signing a few of the guys that they had on the team.
I disagree with that because, first of all, burning cash, that was spoken before I think Mayo really had an appreciation for just how outright craptastic the free agent group was going to be across the league. And then in turn, you know, Tyron Smith, or, you know, I can't remember, Jonah Jackson, I think the guy's name was. Jonah Williams has already been released. Mm-hmm. Those were the best tackles there last year. So they overspent on Barmore by a lot. They overspent on Ramondre Stevenson by a lot. They overspent on Wenu. They overspent on Duggar. Those guys didn't need those kinds of contracts. They went absolutely bananas. They did literally burn cash. Not well. You know, Hunter Henry and Onwenu were re-signs. They were at the top of their positions. I just think that they're not spending it well. They're not drafting well. They have to keep going into free agency. But the notion that they're not spending, I don't see it.
Do you think Robert Kraft understands his role in the drop-off the last 4 or 5 years? Like, I got a sense that he's still keeping it at arm's length, like, well, we've restructured some things and really laying it at the feet of Bill, laying it at the feet of Gerard Mayo, maybe Wolf in there as well. And it's like, well, we've restructured some things. We figured it out. Almost like separating himself from the shortcomings of the last few years. Do you think he understands or recognizes, in my opinion anyway, his role in all of it?
I do. I think because he, you know, what do they call it? An elegant solution with Brady in a contract way back in 2010. I think that Kraft really wanted to have an elegant solution to moving on from Bill. Bill would break Shula's record. They go to the playoffs at least in 2022 or 2023, and then it would elegantly end, and you move on to Jerod Mayo. So I think Kraft probably, in hindsight, looks at it as, well, we shouldn't have been hoping for an elegant solution. Maybe we should have made a move earlier on Bill. Maybe I should have done things differently with Bill, and I certainly didn't make the right call with Mayo. I mean, I think that he's kind of owned the Mayo thing pretty clearly. So I do think that he understands that decisions he made, while he might have made them for the right and sentimental reasons, they didn't work out.
Why do you think Bill Parcells is getting into the Team Hall of Fame now, and do you think he should go into the Hall of Fame?
I've kind of wavered back and forth on this. At times I'll look at Parcells and say the legitimization that he created in 1993, by the end of the decade, he was actively trying to undermine and destroy the Patriots at every turn, including by 1996. Really, players and coaches and ownership still looks at that and says, what a betrayal. So that's one thing where I've always looked at, you know, does Parcells, who actively tried to undermine the franchise, belong there? Like Chuck Fairbanks probably belongs there too, RIP. But he left in a huff in the late 70s as a coach and never was seen again. But Parcells is different. It's a different era. Parcells is definitely a Pro Football Hall of Famer, as we know. And I think that the sentimentality and time healing all wounds is fine. I think that Parcells ought to go in, despite my reticence on those other fronts, because he was vital. He was important, and it's just a Hall of Fame. I always hate seeing guys go in posthumously, whether it's Kenny Stabler or Junior Seau or anybody else.
So, and maybe you're hinting at some of what Kraft said earlier today, like we want to do this while we're both alive. But, like, why the change now? Because clearly Kraft could have done this at any point. He didn't. Forever we heard that, well, it's a public vote and it's up to the fans, and now he's jamming Bill Parcells in, which I think he should be in, by the way.
Yep.
But why now? What's the difference? And is it just they're two older men and they don't want to do it posthumously? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I'm guessing the Brady precedent of last year where he just said, you know what, I'm going to bypass this with Brady in right away. And the world didn't end, didn't explode. People still go to the Hall of Fame. So, I can just do this and it's okay? Yeah, just go ahead if you want to. Who cares? I think they kind of did the same thing with Dante as a contributor, too. So, actually, in hindsight, I think that Dante went in as a contributor. We didn't vote on him. I'm on that committee as well. But I think it would be that. And look, you and I, we all understand the Patriots want as many good headlines as they can and stay in the conversation as much as they can. They still, I think, in many ways, are the number one conversation point, certainly trumping the Celtics and well ahead of the Red Sox and certainly the Bruins, but they could use some positive conversation. So I wouldn't ever rule that out as an opportunity that's being capitalized on as well.
You know, last time we talked to you, they hadn't signed Steph Diggs yet. They've since signed him, and he had his press conference. I'm really excited about the signing. There were certainly other receivers I would have preferred, maybe based on age and whatever else. But to me, the injury is the only hesitance I have about being all in on him having a monster year. I'm way less concerned about, oh, he wants the ball and he's played on three or four teams. What are your expectations for Steph Diggs this season?
It's funny, I put that exact question out as a poll for Quick Slants today from Palm Beach.
I said, how about that?
I said 50 catches, 600 yards, 65 catches for 850, and I think it was 85 for 1,000. And I would probably probably closer to the 65 for 800.
Is that because you expect him to miss time?
It's all about games to me. If he plays 15 or more games, I think it's that. I think it's the big numbers there.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I just think that, you know, he's a 12-yard a catch guy. I was just looking at this. So he should still be that. And how well DeMario Douglas works underneath, how well Hunter Henry does, Tyler Warren when they draft him at 4, that should help take some heat off of Diggs. So I'm trying to talk that and speak that into existence, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to check out tonight on Quick Slants with Tommy Curran. He joins us every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tom E. Tuesday. You can check him out all over NBC Sports Boston and on Thursdays as well on WEEI Afternoons. Vrabel spoke yesterday. I know you wrote about your big takeaway with Vrabel up now at NBC Sports Boston. He's putting it on himself and, you know, not doling out blame. We'll see if that changes over the course of his tenure in New England, but that's where it's at so far. I'm curious on a couple of specific things he said yesterday, specifically on Will Campbell and Travis Hunter. He said you got to evaluate Campbell as a tackle. It made it sound like Travis Hunter would be a guy who played on one side of the ball or the other, and then they'd put more on his plate. Did you gain any insight into what the Patriots may be doing it for based on those answers?
Definitely. I think if they take Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter is going to come in with an expectation that he's voiced that is going to be met with, sorry, we're not doing it your way, Travis. You're 23 or 22 or whatever you are. We're going to do it our way. And you're going to play on the offensive side of the ball because we have two corners, a $20 million one and an all-pro. So come on over. Get yourself comfortable because you're not going to have a $20 million cornerback in Carlton Davis who's a backup. So I found that telling because if you draft Travis Hunter, you're probably drafting him as an offensive player. And he's not what you would call a finished offensive product yet because he's just not been devoted at the same level that some of the excellent receivers last year, your Malik Nabers or Brian Thomases or anybody else who came out in last year's draft. So to me, I find it really interesting, and I thought it was informative, and I did glean from the Campbell answer that if you're going to point out how well he looked in the SEC, which I think you rightly should, isn't the safest thing to do to make sure you don't screw up the pick and so you can get immediate bang for your buck is get the appliance that your house needs at four. And I know you guys keep saying, and I understand, you don't do that at four. But this year's four is not like the other year's fours.
Well, I think if he's a left tackle, I am, you know, all right taking him at four. I would rather have Travis Hunter, but he might be off the board. So if he's off the board, because Vrabel had that good line about, well, if you tell me who's going one through three, I can tell you who's going four. And so it does, my takeaway was maybe similar, is like it probably will end up being Will Campbell. And then I think if a year from now he ends up being a left guard, like, meh. That is somewhat disappointing.
Would you flip out if they drafted Tyler Warren? All right, more traded and drafted Tyler Warren.
No, I wouldn't flip out.
I heard you asking Vrabel about this. You're like, take all the tight ends possible. I like Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
I personally, Curran would go, like, if the quarterbacks didn't go in the top four, my top four would be Carter, Hunter, Genty, and then Warren. I like Tyler Warren a lot.
It's funny to hear Robert today just unprompted mention a speed running back, which I totally agree with. They've been missing it for years. But that would be also fascinating, probably something we're overlooking with Genty.
But also when he was talking about, was it Caden Wallace and Vidarian Lowe and draft pick? So when he mentions that, when he was at, Mike Vrabel was asked about left tackle, and he mentions those two names, you're like, oh, yeah, they definitely are drafting one. And it feels like if you go to the second round for that, that is obviously a much bigger risk. So it definitely feels like the smart money would be on them taking a tackle, whether it's Campbell or even somebody else with their first pick, don't you think?
At first pick or definitely first two picks, I keep thinking of the kid Josh Simmons, who the Patriots and Vrabel have spent a significant amount of time with from Ohio State. So Vrabel having those ties would be well acquainted with him. You know, he had, I think it was a patella tear last year, but he might have been the number one tackle on the board had he not been injured for Ohio State last year. Could he be sitting there at the beginning of the second round? There's a chance of that. So maybe you can kill those two birds with one stone. You get your Tyler Warren, then you go ahead and get your Josh Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that?
That'd be great. Real quick, Tom, before we let you go, one more on Robert. Not like it's earth-shattering to say that Jonathan would take over and he'd be the next guy up and that's a succession plan. I think we all probably wrap our heads around that. At least from the outside looking in, I feel like we've never really heard a ton about succession plan talk and what would it look like after Robert Kraft and are the wheels in motion for that. Did you have any takeaways from that answer? Because from the outside looking in, even if it's obvious, I thought it was interesting he was even willing to go there.
Yeah, and hey, certainly would not have gone there had Greg Bedard not asked the question, which kind of needed to be asked. He is I thought that he was impressive today, and not just for an 82-year-old. I thought he was impressive. You know, retrieval, word. We've seen him have times at the podium when I think he's trying to do prepared statements where he struggles more off the cuff. I'm not looking at a guy who is incapable by any stretch of the imagination of, you know, owning a football team and helping and making decisions. So I was not surprised that the question was asked because he is an octogenarian, for God's sake. So we got to ask those questions. It's not ageist to do a check-in. But I presume that would always be the succession plan. And I do believe personally that there's going to be a juncture at which Jonathan does begin to make himself more available as he used to on the pregame shows back last decade. Has it been a decade now since he did it?
Yeah, probably about that.
Sounds about right. And I know he's had scheduling conflicts during their last few big press conferences. He's just missed them.
You're a smarmorama.
I am not. Oh, I heard somebody said you called me a mutterer. How dare you?
You muttered.
Muttered.
You muttered last week.
He's going to mutter. And it was less about you than that the overall. His I remember what we were talking mutter. About. No, maybe she was. Yeah. No, but because everybody, you see this a lot where a player says they don't want to go to a team and they're like, well, don't even try. And then they end up going somewhere where, like, I don't think that was their top choice. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
It was funny when I called you out on the drive by.
Yeah. Just real quick. Just want to get it out there. I didn't want to sit on it. Yeah, that's all.
All right, we have fun. We have a lot of laughs. We have
Keep
a great time.
I like a loose clubhouse.
Loose clubhouse is exactly what it is. Every Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Check him out tonight on Quick Slants. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. Check out his latest NBCSportsBoston.com on Mike Vrabel and his press conference from the owners' meetings yesterday in Palm Beach. Tommy, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. That was fun. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday.
Uh-oh, Patriots fans. That was Albert Breer talking on NBC Sports Boston about the feeling that he's getting that Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter will be going in the top three picks in the draft, meaning the number four pick will be a massive question mark. If you stay in that spot, our own Ted Johnson's brought up the idea. Maybe you can package to trade up. Who knows? Possibility. I know Phil Perry has brought up that idea.
I don't like giving away draft capital when you need to fill a lot of holes.
But also, in a draft where some people believe there's maybe only two blue chip players or very few blue chip players going up, that might be where the value is. If this isn't a very good draft, which I believe it is not a very good draft, and if you come away with less players, but one of them is a Pro Bowl caliber player, you'll never regret that. I don't think you'd ever be upset with that. Speaking of which, Mason Graham visiting the Patriots this week, according to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, I believe. I think I cited that right. The defensive lineman out of Michigan who's been, like everybody else, has a question mark. So he was big, then he wasn't big, but he was fast. Well, he was supposed to be big.
He looks small to me.
And then he wasn't big at the combine, but he ran fast.
Okay.
But then at his pro day, he got bigger and put on weight.
But then he got slower.
Well, but he didn't run because he just said, I'll stand on my combine numbers.
Okay, smart.
This is maximizing all areas of your scouting report here.
No desire for Mason Graham.
No desire?
No.
None?
Some people believe he's in the blue chip conversation for this draft.
Huh? No way.
You
please.
Can clip that, please.
Best lineman in the country, Ted.
Okay, we got guys. We got Milton Williams.
Well, that is, from a Patriots perspective, I would say, if you believe Christian Barmore, even if you don't believe, you're on the hook for Barmore. You've already paid him, and you paid a ton of money to Milton Williams. I don't know that you can invest
if you
yet
take
again.
Mason Graham over Will Campbell, I'll be he's short arms
whoa,
and all.
Wait
a minute. No, suddenly Teddy Ballgame likes Will Campbell?
No, I don't like him at four, but if the other options are all gone, you can't trade back. You can't get Abdul Carter. You can't get Travis Hunter. Then I am okay with them taking Will Campbell. It's not great, but what are your other options?
Okay, so
I would rather take Will Campbell at four than I would take Maybe Tyler Warren, maybe, but
okay.
I just think
Ashton Jeanty.
Nope.
Nah.
You know, the left tackle to me, you get a left tackle, we're all feeling good going into
training.
I feel
like you were yelling at me for this like a month ago.
I was yelling at you for thinking that he's worth kind of the fourth overall pick. I'm just saying if Will Campbell's available and Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter there at four, please, Will Campbell, get out of here.
Oh, okay, but that's no, I know. That I agree with.
Okay. Well, that's all I was saying. I just don't think he's worth the overall fourth overall pick.
What if I told you that there was a 60% chance Will Campbell was going to turn into a plus level 10-year starter and a 95% chance that Mason Graham was going to be a stud? Wouldn't you, even if you have to find a way to rotate him in because you got Milton Williams and Barmore's on the comeback, if you know he is a certified blue chip, A-plus player, how do you not find room for him?
How do you know? How do you know Fitzy?
Right, these are all projections.
Well, no, I was working off a hypothetical.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. So that's the, I mean, you can do what ifs till the cows come home, and make yourself crazy. But you know, if I knew for a fact that that was what Fitzy just described would be the case, then you take Mason Graham. I don't know that, and no one else does.
And I would also say this is just totally my personal opinion on these two players. I think there's equal or better chance that Will Campbell will be a good offensive lineman. Notice I said offensive lineman. That Mason Graham will be defensive lineman. Like, I think Will Campbell is going to start somewhere on an offensive line for a decade. You may say, oh, Ted was right. He can't play tackle. Yeah. And he'll play guard. And he'll start it. Like, it will stun me if he can't play. If he cannot play at a high NFL level. It's just where.
That would stun me,
And
too.
In your scheme. So, I thought you were going to be mad at your guy, Lance Zierlein, who apparently former Houston radio guy like yourself, now works for NFL.com, does a lot of their mocks and their write-ups and all that. Mm-hmm. I believe he's going to join us here on WEIX next week.
Yep.
So, I thought you were going to get mad because his mock draft dropped today on NFL.com, and Will Campbell is the number 4 pick because... I don't know if you followed the odds, but it's now like crazy odds that Cam Ward's going number 1 overall. It's basically a lock that Cam Ward's going number 1 overall. And then he has Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, in that order. So Will Campbell is best available need player for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And but that's one way of going about doing this, which I like. Because I'm a Will Campbell guy. I think you'll never regret having him on your team. I like his attitude, his voice. You've brought that up. But then we need to go to Warren Sharp's mock draft, which includes a trade, which I think always adds a layer to these. And yes, I'm tiptoeing through this to make sure I get it properly. He has, a trade back in to the first round. So Warren Sharp takes Will Campbell at number 4.
Okay. All right.
We like that,
we're talking about the fourth fall,
Where did it go? Where's his trade? He had a trade. No.
There was a previous one. The one that was published today, 4.0, just has Will Campbell at fourth overall. You were looking at one where they trade down. I don't think they grabbed Tyler Graham. I don't think they grabbed Graham. I think they grabbed somebody at 7 or 8 and then trade back in at 24 and took a lineman. I saw the exact same. Here it is right here. Mock draft. Brendan Donahue, who works for Warren Sharp.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. 502 Bad Gateway.
So he has them taking Will Campbell at 4, but then trading back into the tail end of the first round using some of their accrued draft capital from the Matthew Judon deal and more. Shedeur Sanders goes 20th to the Giants, who also trade back in. So they exit with Hunter and Shedeur Sanders from the first round. Patriots get 4, Will Campbell, and 29th overall, Matthew Golden, wide receiver, University of Texas.
So Robert Kraft, on the heels of saying we need a wide receiver and we need a tackle, would be very happy with that first round there. What do you think of that one, Teddy Johnson? So you get Will Campbell at 4.
I'd be all over that.
And then you trade back in late to the first round get a wide receiver. Yep. Golden, who ran a 4.2 something.
He's your Xavier Worthy 40. From last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 4.3.
You know?
Yeah. I'll take it. And can play.
That would be a fantastic outcome.
4.29. That's Ted Johnson fast.
Yeah, I mean, but Tyquan Thornton was fast too.
Yeah, but this guy can play.
Out. Oh, okay.
And his wrists are thicker.
I take back everything I just said. Okay, I didn't realize his
Baylor
wrists were thicker.
Baylor receivers, Ted. There should be a sign hung above wherever Mike Vrabel exits his office and makes way to the war room, and it says there will be no drafting Baylor receivers today.
That's
they are all
soft
they all
as poo.
Fail soft at 1,000 miles an hour.
And most Texas receivers have been soft as poo, except for the recent receivers that come out of there. Pretty
Do you
good.
Believe into that?
I've always
like
believed
schools
in it. I believe
having
programs are soft programs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Texas has always had a soft program.
Yeah, but how does that work when it's
Baylor's always had a soft
different
soft
coaches
program. Just stylistically, how they play.
No, but I mean, like, they went from Tom Herman to Sarkisian to, like, whoever. Mm-hmm. They've had these various coaches. How can you label a program soft when I assume every coach comes in and kind of sets his own tone?
I think those are soft coaches, though. You know, Tom Herman, soft. Acted tough, but soft. Recruited soft players. Mm-hmm. It's a soft fan base, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Get this on the Hook'em Horns Network.
Hook'em.
Ted Johnson, quote, Longhorns are a soft fan base.
I mean, the program's had really good recruiting classes, and how have they ever come close to performing based on how good the recruiting classes have been over the last, I mean, the last 5 years, maybe. Maybe the last 5 years.
Arch Manning, next big thing in college football, baby.
He's going number one next year, right? Like,
the early projection. Yes, that's the early.
What I think is the overall point that Breer is kind of saying is that no team sees Shador as a top 5-10 pick.
No.
And so that is the consensus. So we needed a team to think that he's a worthy of a top 5 pick. Most people think that he is a late first round or maybe a second rounder.
Yes.
So we needed teams to think he was going to go high, and if the Patriots were going to get one of those blue chip players, there's only two blue chip players in this year's draft, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
But the pressure of the quarterback pursuit changes things. It always does. Like, Daniel Jones shouldn't have been the sixth pick in the draft or whatever the hell he was. But Mac Jones was a guy a lot of people didn't think was really a first round talent. Like, it happened. Bo Nix. Bo Nix was a guy that a lot of people didn't like and said, that's not really a first round talent. But Sean Payton says, the hell he isn't. That's my guy.
He went 12th overall, not second or third. Like,
no, I know. But we hear things, but quarterbacks are always different. And it only takes one guy. It only takes one offensive guru genius to say, Shador, with that accuracy, I can take that and make that an NFL success.
Nope.
Now, the flip side.
Not Cleveland at 2 and not the Giants at 3.
Yeah, well, Cleveland's made a lot of mistakes.
It's not going to happen.
Cleveland's made a lot of mistakes over the years.
They are not going to make another one.
You can't be assured of that, Ted Johnson.
I'm positive.
The other issue there on the flip side of that is some believe Jackson Dart could sneak past Shador. That there are teams that think Jackson Dart is a better player, and a little I would be one of those teams. I think Jackson Dart has a chance to be a better NFL quarterback than Shador Sanders. I don't think either's going to be a starter for the long term, but I think Jackson Dart could be better.
I would take Will Howard before I probably took any of those guys, and I would take him later on, and I would let him sit for a year or two. Some people were talking about Tom Brady getting his hands on Will Howard and developing him for a year or two behind Geno Smith. And, you know, Brady coming out of Michigan and defying the odds and turning an Ohio State quarterback into the next big thing. I watched a cut up of him last night that was damn impressive. Although, you know, the hell do I know?
This is Mike from Framingham. Hello, Mike.
Hey, two things. First off, the guy that called earlier said that we missed out on Warren Sapp because we got Terry Glenn. Warren Sapp was in the 95 draft.
Yeah.
Terry Glenn was in the 96 draft. We also got Ty Law and Teddy Bruschi in that draft. I love Parcells, but I think he messed up on that one. And one other thing, too, is, hey Wiggy.
Yo.
You got Key and Peele mixed up with Cannon and Kelly yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know.
You think that Dave Shapiro... Yeah. Do you think that Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock were in different strokes?
No. I knew what it was. I thought it was. I don't know why I got Key and Peele messed up with.
Just a name thing.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Courtney was the one that suggested Keenan and Kel.
Yeah. I knew it was.
I thought that's what he was talking about.
Michael Keegan Key. Yes. Yeah. And then.
It was so interesting yesterday. Curtis brought it up during the 6 o'clock hour this morning, but it was difficult for you to pick between Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells when it came to your better coach.
Yeah, they both really, you know, they both taught me a lot as far as just the whole game. The reason why I it's so difficult is because they were, like, they kept it real, and that was the biggest thing that you want as a player from a coach is, like, know exactly where you stand. So it was really hard for me to decide. But if I had to say, like, I think Bill's the better overall coach.
Bill has certainly had more success.
Yes, but if I had to play for one, I probably would, like, choose Parcells.
Over Belichick?
Yeah, if I had to play for one. I think it's just, I like Parcells' type of personality.
Like, Wiggy likes people that talk.
I like his personality. Like, you know, I like the trash talking you as a player. Like, I like that, being coached by that kind of guy. Where Bill, it's like, you don't like, I wouldn't want to play poker with Bill. Let's just say that.
But you were talking yesterday, it was off air after the show, I think, about Bill Parcells cutting a dude on the field.
Yes, for not passing his conditioning test. I'll never forget.
Who was that?
I can't remember the dude's name.
Of course you can't.
No, yeah, I'm horrible at names. But he was drafted. I remember he was a second round draft pick.
Oh, yeah, that was what's-his-face.
And we used to have this 300-yard shuttle where we'd run down 50 yards and come back. And that would be one. And we run down two, three. So we had to do three of them in under 60 seconds. It was like 58 seconds for tight ends and 56 for DBs and receivers. And O-linemen had like 60 seconds, O-line and D-line. And he's running. And every time I get with the guys like Otis and all them, we talk about the story. And so he goes down and he's back. And, you know, the strength coach is calling it out, you know, 27, 28. And so he's about 7-8 yards away, and he's like 56, 57, and the dude like just dies for the finish line.
Yeah.
And like an airplane that crashes on a runway,
yeah,
like skips, boom, 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 boom. And he's still
tucked and rolled.
No, was right there. Was like, get him the F out of here. He's
done.
Cut.
He's done.
Cut.
Finished.
See
that was
you later,
it.
Right there
that
on
was
the field.
End of it.
That was the end of it. And like, I was like, and I was a rookie. I was like, damn.
Yeah. So
this
worked.
Dude don't play.
It worked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the respect level that you had for both of them.
Yeah.
Because I think it was a respect and a fear thing where you respected them because of what they did in the game that they were involved in. But you feared them because you knew they could cut you.